Hey, do you prefer to find the joy in life, or do you just want some help with that? If so, you're in the right place. So come on in and join the Joy Bunny clan. This is the My Slice of Life podcast. Hey Joy Bunnies, welcome to the My Slice of Life podcast. This is the fourth season of the podcast, and this season I am asking the question, what is so super about the supernatural? And this week we're looking at ghosts. Thanks for tuning in this week. I want to start just by saying I'm not going to go into what is a ghost and all the basics. I'm assuming we all know what they are. It's one of the first spooky things we hear about as children, so I'm not going to insult your intelligence. What I do want to do is bring you some Scottish ghost stories, and I'm hoping some of them will be new to you and some that you're going to find interesting and a little bit strange. And who knows, if you're from here or if you visit here, you can go and find these places and do a bit of ghost hunting yourself. The first place I want to talk to you about is called Cawdor Castle. It's in Nairnshire. You might have heard of the Thane of Cawdor if you've ever read Shakespeare's Macbeth and the Thane of Cawdor. It was his castle. And this story comes from the 1880s, and it was the daughter of the Earl of Cawdor. She was in a relationship with a young guy from a rival family, an enemy family, and the Earl was not happy when he found out about this. The story goes he stumbled upon his daughter and the enemy lover in their secret hiding place, and he was furious. He was so furious, in fact, he chased her through the castle, and she was just trying to find somewhere to hide, and she was just desperate to escape from him. In her desperation, she climbed out a castle window and she began to try and lower herself onto the ground below. So if you can imagine, she's hanging on with both hands on the windowsill. The Earl found her dangling from the window, and in his irate, furious state of mind, drew out his sword and slashed off his daughter's hands. Now, the poor girl fell to her death, obviously, and even to this day, visitors to the castle have reported seeing a young woman roaming about the castle with a lovely blue velvet dress on, but no hands. So that's a bit of a weird, spooky one to start us off with. So I'd never actually heard of that, and it's not that far from me, which is very strange. I know the place, but I've never heard that story. Now, the next place I want to take you, you will have heard of. It's Edinburgh. Have you heard of the Edinburgh Vaults at the South Bridge? Now, I've heard of them. I've never been there. I was in college in Edinburgh for 3 years, and I still never went there. The story goes with this. When the South Bridge was built, they wanted to have businesses on either side of it, and this was like towards the end of the 18th century. So these businesses were starting to spring up on the sides of the bridges, and they had taverns and, you know, the usual sort of stores of the day, and they wanted to give them some sort of storage space, some kind of room they could use underneath. So they built these vaults in the arches of the bridge. Now, if you look it up online, you'll see there's actually loads of them, and it's layer upon layer. There's just a huge amount of them. And they were used by these merchants for storage for a while. But over time, they started to get damp and they were leaking. They weren't, you know, the materials they used weren't great. So the people that had stored them using them for their shops, they moved out and the people moved in. And if, again, look online at, please, because these places are, they just look horrendous. They look disgusting. And that's now, I can't imagine what it would have been like then. It wasn't just people who moved in. There were taverns, there were shopkeepers, stalls, people who wanted to remain hidden from the law, they would move in. It is rumoured that Burke and Hare used the vaults to stash the bodies that they had stolen. Apparently, there's no evidence for that, but it is well rumoured. The problem is there aren't many written records of the vaults from the time. It seems to have been a place where you went to hide, or if you were really down on your luck, the homeless used it a lot, people who had nowhere else to stay, that's where they would have ended up. So if you can imagine, it's dirty, it's dark. You've got some stalls trying to open and actually function there. You've got people trying to live there. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of illegal activity and there is a lot of murder. So it is no surprise that the Edinburgh Vaults are now known as one of the scariest, most haunted places to go and visit. And you can visit it. They do tours there, which, like I say, I've never done it, but I think it would be worth doing. Nobody really knows when the vaults were shut down or why, but they think it was sometime in the mid-19th century. They were rediscovered in the 1980s, and an excavation was held just a couple of years later, and they found all sorts of things, which would have been basically black market material. Now, there's talk of witches setting up a coven there, and I did see evidence of that on a YouTube video that I did watch. But people who visit the place, they do talk about all sorts of weird and wonderful things happening to them, from hearing footsteps, banging, being touched, light bulbs exploding for no real reason. You try and take a picture, your camera won't work. All these weird sort of things. There is also talk, one room in particular being home to a vicious poltergeist who has attacked numerous visitors over the years. It is, as I say, a tourist attraction. A lot of people go. I don't know how many actually enjoy it. But that is a place you want to add to your list if you want to go ghost hunting. So I wanted to bring that to you. Now, another one in Edinburgh that a lot of people will have heard of, but I want to mention it because it's linked and it is supposed to be extremely haunted, is Mary King's Close in Edinburgh. It's actually not that far away from the Edinburgh Vaults. Now, this was a close where people did live. It was an underground neighbourhood, but it was where the city's poorest people would have lived, and it was a really unpleasant place. There were stories upon, I think it was like 7 stories high was one number that I did read. So people, you were living on top of each other. There was no sanitation. There was no sewage system and all that like we have now. So you can only imagine the filth and the dirt and the rats. The one thing Mary King's Close is famous for, apart from its ghosts, is the plague. In the mid-1600s, the place had a terrible outbreak of the plague due to the rat population that they had there. There are stories that when it became so bad, because this place was severely infected by the plague, and of course there are stories then that you may have heard this, that they bricked up the entrance to the close and they left the people there to die. More recently, I've seen reports saying that's a myth and it's not true. And okay, people didn't come in and out of there, but they were brought food, they were brought medical supplies, and a doctor did attend the people there who were ill. But you can still imagine the suffering and just the disease and the cramped conditions and the horrendous life these people would have lived. And I don't think that kind of thing can go on without some sort of energy being left behind, and people are picking up on that. There's a very famous ghost, one of the first ones picked up by a Japanese medium who went to Mary King's Close, and this is in the 1990s, and this, I don't have the name of the medium. She was one of the first ones to encounter this little girl, and she was crying up in the corner of a room, very upset, and so the medium asked her why she was so upset, and the little girl wanted to know where her doll was and told the medium that she was so lonely without it. So the medium left her a doll, and ever since then visitors to Mary King's Close have also been leaving gifts for her and for the other children. People have been experiencing, again, getting their coat tugged, you feel somebody coming up, maybe holding your hand. Think some of the children come up and hold your hand. There are obviously going to be more unpleasant encounters. So if you want to go and investigate, there are tours you can do there. And if you look online, you will see practically anybody who does any sort of supernatural program or ghost hunting, everybody goes to Mary King's Close. Whether or not all the experiences on the camera are legitimate, obviously, I doubt it. I saw one today, I'm not going to name them, but I just thought it was a very poor attempt at trying to draw you in. But you be the judge. Have a look. Mary King's Close in Edinburgh. Now we're going to move on from Edinburgh and we're going to move up to Fife and St Andrews. more specifically the Cathedral in St Andrews. Now, at one time, this was the largest church in Scotland, and it was built on an area which used to be home to a group of monks, but we will come to them later. Now, this famous ghost at St Andrews is the White Lady. There's a graveyard there. Again, if you look online, you'll see a picture of it. There's a graveyard there, and there's a tower, a big square tower, and that's called the Haunted Tower. And people have been known to see this White Lady walking about. Some say she's wearing gloves, some say she's reading a book, but everybody says she appears very luminous to them. And apparently she was actually seen by a group of fishermen, and she passed straight through an iron gate and scared the absolute crap out of all of them. But she seems to be benevolent, unless there's a little bit of a story to this. The sightings date back to the 1800s, and they say she's beautiful, slim, she's got long dark hair, wears a long white dress and white gloves. Some people do say she's wearing a veil. So who is she, and where did she come from, and why is she haunting this particular place? Well, the tower, this haunted tower, there was some people say members of the Cleffin family were buried there when they died of the plague. And it was sealed up, you know, that was their mausoleum. Other people say it might be the bodies of local saints, because, like I was saying, the cathedral was actually built on a site which was used by monks. They were associated with the ancient Celtic church. So there are some people thinking maybe it's them who are buried there. But the Haunted Tower is also known as the Chamber of Corpses. In 1868, stonemasons were doing some work there, and they found cracks in what appeared to them to be a sealed crypt. They peeked inside and they found a whole bunch of mummified bodies. There was a university lecturer, he led an excavation group, and the crypt was opened. A number of bodies were found, but they were found in a remarkably good state of preservation. And among them was the body of a young woman who had dark hair. She was wearing a white dress and white leather gloves. Now, local legend has it that this young woman was extremely annoyed at being disturbed. Now, I did say when she's seen walking about, people just thought she was benevolent and, you know, no harm done. She just, you know, you get a fright and that's about it. But if you put your hand through a gun loop in the bottom of the chamber, they say you can shake hands with the White Lady. Some say they felt a presence brush past them when they did this, but others say they felt a force that actually tried to pull them in. There's also been reports of people trying to take photos of the area, in that area in particular, and the camera just will not work. So there's another one to add to your list. That is St Andrew's Cathedral. Now, the next one I want to bring to you, it's the last in my list because it's, I think, one of the saddest. And this is the Ghosts of Culloden Battlefield. Now, everybody's heard of the Battle of Culloden. It was the last battle fought on British soil. Jacobites fighting the English government troops, mainly. That's kind of a myth because there were Scots on both sides, and it's not as clear-cut as Scots on one side, English on the other. But I'm not here to tell you the whole history of it, just to kind of clarify that. So the battle, 16th of April, 1746. It was not a very long battle. In 40 minutes, the Jacobite troops were just shattered, broken down and defeated. But what happened after the battle had long-lasting consequences for the living and the dead. Now, you might think the battle's over, people just went away. No, the Jacobites were actually hunted down. There is a place in Culloden Woods. It's a huge stone and it's called the Prisoner's Stone. It actually has holes in it. You can go up and see it, you can feel them, you can touch them. It still has holes in it from where the prisoners who were caught in the woods were lined up and shot by the government troops. So that's one place you can go. So they were obviously caught, they were hunted down, but it wasn't just the Jacobites on the battlefield who were hunted. The government troops burnt out farms, homesteads, villages, women and children were driven from their homes based on the suspicion that they were helping the Jacobites. A lot of the time, the redcoats would enter a village. They would separate the children from the family. They'd speak to the children. And if the children spoke Gaelic, well, consequences were dire, because that was seen as Highlanders maintaining their illegal traditions. After Culloden, it was illegal to speak Gaelic. It was illegal to wear tartan or the kilt, or even to have and play the bagpipes. They were classed as an instrument of war, believe it or not. Everything basically about the Highland way of life was wiped out. These days you would call it ethnic cleansing, but that's what happened. I've heard stories of the soldiers going door to door and just, you know, ripping kids from their mothers, throwing them on the street. People, it was just horrendous. That's people who didn't even take part in the battle. So what about those who did? It is said on the anniversary of the battle every year that the ghosts of the soldiers rise again, and you can hear the cries of the wounded. You can hear the clash of the metal weapons as they battle on year after year. It never ends for them. And there are a lot of reports of a tall man with very drawn features just roaming around the area. He's dressed in Highland dress, and when he's approached, he's heard mumbling the word defeated. And in 1936, there is a report of a woman lifting a tartan cloth which was laid across one of the grave mounds, and underneath it she saw the apparition of a severely wounded Highlander. Now, online I did find somebody replying, I don't actually have all the details, but they were saying that they had a work colleague who brought in a photo of the battlefield, and their colleague said, oh, there's a ghost in the photo. Now, this person looked at the photo for ages and couldn't see anything. But then they looked at a tree. There was a tree in the photo, and they said as plain as day, you could see the figure of a Highlander standing at the tree. And it was one of those things, once you saw it, you couldn't unsee it. Now, there was no reason, there was nobody standing there, but this was came up in the photograph. And there is another report from somebody called Peggy Montgomery, who said that while she was at Culloden Battlefield, she was on holiday, I don't know what year it was, but she could actually hear a whisper coming to her, and what she heard was somebody saying in a whisper, put a flower on my wee grave. And she did. She picked as many wildflowers as she could, and she put them at the sites where there's memorial stones and sites, so she tried to put flowers on all of them, help them feel a bit more at peace so they know they're not forgotten. Now, it is said that birds never sing in the areas above the graves. And it's also said that the heather which grows nearby will also never grow over the graves of the Jacobites. Now, the birds might not sing on the battlefield, but there is a large ghostly bird that apparently inhabits Culloden. And it was seen on the eve of the battle, on the 15th of April in 1746, by Lord George Murray. He was the Jacobite commander. Huge blackbird called the Great Scree of Culloden Moor. And anyone who sees the Great Scree will have bad luck. I think we all know where that story ends for poor Lord George Murray. So there were, and still are actually, many drinking wells in the area near the battle. And one near the battle site is called St Mary's Well. And this well has its own ghosts, who are thought to be ghosts of the dead Highlanders killed at the battle. Another well in the area is called the Well of the Dead. The body of Alexander McGilvery of Dunmaglass, he was a leader of Clan Chat, and he was found there. Now, Alexander McGilvery, he led his men on in such a ferocious charge, they broke through the first line of defence in Cumberland's army before being killed, and there is a plaque by the well to commemorate his bravery. Another well in the area is the Clutie Well, where you go, and if you see it and you don't know, you think, what on earth is going on here? It has lots of little rags tied on it, and it is said if you tie a rag on, you can ask for a certain person in your life to be healed from an ailment. So no ghosts, but you're trying to prevent them from becoming a ghost. So this year, I'm going to try and go along to the battlefield. I don't live too far away from it, and I want to go on the anniversary and see if I can hear or see any of these poor soldiers reenacting this battle every year since their defeat in 1746. I think it would be very interesting. I know a lot of people do go, so if I hear anything, I will let you know. Now, everybody seems to have their own ghost story, don't they? Throughout time, we've all been enthralled by ghost stories. In fact, I've been told some by my own family members. I remember my mum, years ago, telling me that when she grew up in an old house in Ireland, it was well known there was a ghost of an old lady in the area, and she didn't believe it. She came back from a dance one night, my mum, and she went upstairs to her bedroom, realised she'd forgotten something and had to go back down the stairs. Everybody else was in bed, it was quite late, so she was creeping down the stairs. It was just a small living room, so the sofa was actually up against, well, you know, you could reach the sofa from the stairs. So she reached over to grab whatever it was she had left on the sofa, and as she looked up, she could see this old woman sitting on the chair by the fire, and she just looked at her, and the woman turned around slowly, turned her head, and just looked at my mum for a few seconds, and then turned back the other way. Needless to say, my mum ran up the stairs and did not leave her bedroom again at night on her own. She wasn't the only one to see that woman. That house eventually was knocked down, and there were other people in the area said that she'd moved on to their house, so a well-known ghost in the area. I mentioned earlier that I was a student in Edinburgh for a few years. Now, the first year I was in student accommodation, the flats at the college, that was fine. But then had to find our own accommodation, and I ended up in one of these tenements. We ended up in this flat in a tenement, and I have to be honest, it wasn't the favourite place I've ever lived. And I was in it on my own quite a lot. And these are old buildings, and we were right up at the top. And more than once I would be sitting in, it was an open plan kitchen. It wasn't even that big, but it was enough to have your kitchen and a table and a little sofa, and we had a horrible little black and white TV in there. So like I say, I was there on my own quite a lot, and I'd be watching TV, and I would usually keep the door open so I could hear for the telephone. And when I did that, I could see right through the hall into what was my bedroom, and I shared it with another girl. Frequently, when I was on my own, I'd be sitting there and I could hear, and I swear, I could hear somebody from my bedroom whispering my name, and it happened more than once, and it happened. I was there for 2 years, and it was so frequent, and I hated it. I never saw anybody. I never heard more than that. But if you imagine you're sitting there, and I was only 19, and all I could hear was, Sharon. It gave me the almighty creeps. It was horrendous. So that was one. I'm fortunate in that I'm not somebody, I don't want to be, so I don't want to jinx this, I'm not somebody who experiences a lot of ghosty stuff. You know, I don't experience a lot of that. But when we first moved into this house, all of us would hear somebody walking up the steps. You could hear the, not thumping, but heavy footsteps of a man coming up the stairs. And even our dearest son would hear it. I'd heard it several times. I remember clearly one night thinking, oh, there's my husband coming up the stairs. And I thought, can it be him? He's in his bed. So I'd go and check, because, you know, I've got to protect my family. Nobody there. And I spoke to dearest son about it once, and I said, do you ever hear footsteps coming up the stairs? As plain as you like, as if it was so normal. He just went, oh yeah, don't worry, Mum, that's just the ghost. I says, what? Because I thought he'd be freaked out. And he said, yeah, I think we've got a ghost here, but don't worry about it. He doesn't harm us. He's fine. Everything seems to have settled down, thankfully. I have asked everybody to leave us alone. I believe that's what you have to do. So everything here has been quiet, and I am touching wood as I say that, because I don't want to jinx it. So that is it for this week's episode, friends. That is our week of ghosts and ghost stories. I hope you've enjoyed those Scottish ghost stories I brought you this week. But what about you? Do you have any encounters of your own that you can share with the rest of us? Please leave a 5-star review, leave a comment, let us know what happened to you. Let me know what other topics you would like me to cover. it really helps if you do that, because then I get bumped up in the algorithms and other people can find me. And you can, if you want to support this channel, that's the best way you can do it. You can also use my links below. You can go to the Buy Me a Coffee if you'd like to buy me. I've actually put Buy Me a Plant. I'm a gardener. If you want to buy me a plant or a coffee, I'm a big coffee drinker as well. That would be fantastic. Failing that, just let other people know about it. That would be wonderful. The other links will take you to the blog, when I put things up Monday to Friday, all sorts of different stuff, bound to be something there that you're going to find interesting. Or you could nip along to Patreon, become a patron of the show, or use my links to start your own podcast. Wonderful and magical places all to be found in my links, so I hope you will try them out. So like I said, that's it for this week, but till next time, you take care of your wee self.